Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, right here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read internet news site on the planet. I'm Matt Kuhn, and it's Saturday, so of course it is crime in wrestling time. Yesterday, we had a crime of our own here. I had a little funeral for the career of Brad Shepherd, Ringside News, and Pro Sports Extra. You can listen to that bit of weirdness on in our archives, and make sure to check out all of our archives here at Total Engagement. They're short shows, but they're good. People dig them, and you can just check them all out. All you gotta do is subscribe on your favorite platform, download some of the old episodes. Most of them are very evergreen, and today's is no exception because it's Saturday, so we are doing crime in wrestling again with one of the most interesting and tragic stories in wrestling history, the death of Nancy Argentina and the person that a lot of people think is responsible, Mr. Jimmy Snuka. And we're going to have JP Zarka of Pro Wrestling Stories join us. And it's a story that I don't think you'll forget soon. It's something I don't know a lot about, so I'm interested to learn about it along with you today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. All right, joining us this week, guys, again, is JP Zarka from the awesome site ProWrestlingStories.com. JP, thanks for joining us again.
It's my absolute pleasure. Boy, is this a tough one to discuss this week.
Well, last week we had Dino Bravo. A lot of people never heard that story. A lot of people hadn't seen Dino Bravo wrestle. But today we have somebody else, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And what a story this is.
Yeah, everyone seems to have an opinion on what happened with this story 36 years ago. Now, I'm going to do my best to deliver the facts in an unbiased way, and of course leave opinions up to the listener after they're done hearing this week's show. All of the information that I'm going to share is coming from the latest article on ProWrestlingStories.com in a piece entitled Jimmy Snuka and the Death of Nancy Argentino. And while we're at it, I have to put in a plug for my website. Be sure you head over there, ProWrestlingStories.com. Bookmark the site where you're going to find daily new articles, and it gives a peek behind the curtain of wrestling's past. For instance, we also had a good article this week on Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler and their feud. Lawler loved it. He shared it out, and Cornette enjoyed it as well. He reached out, and it made the front page of Reddit, which is always very cool. So something we're checking out after today's episode. Shall we dive in?
Well, it's a great website. Everybody should go over to ProWrestlingStories.com, and we should dive in. A little background on Jimmy Snuka. I think most people know who he is. He reached his fame in the Mid-Atlantic area as a heel. And when he went to the WWE, he was a heel as well, the old WWWF, I believe. And then at one time, he actually became someone who was at the top of the card, one of a breakout crossover star. And it looked like he was going to be a huge part of this wrestling expansion with Hulk Hogan and everybody else. And then I think that's about where our story picks up, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, he was a high-flying wrestler, jumping off the cage at Madison Square Garden. The fans that were there that witnessed Snuka doing this were mesmerized. You know, he was definitely one of the best talents on the roster, but never really had the opportunity to become the top champion. And maybe that's as a result of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I remember he might have been one of the first wrestlers I ever heard of. I remember kids jumping off the diving board going, Superfly Snuka. And I'm like, right. Who the hell are they talking about? And then I saw him, striking figure. He looked like $1 million. He was diving off the top rope with a splash, which was unheard of then. And someone who was a big part of the future for the WWF.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's get into this. Okay, we're going to talk about Nancy Argentino, who was just 23 when she died in 1983 after being rushed to a hospital after being discovered in Jimmy Snuka's motel in Whitehall Township, Pennsylvania, with a serious head injury. Nancy, who is from Brooklyn, was Snuka's mistress, and they traveled together on the pro wrestling circuit whenever Snuka found himself in the Northeast.
Mistress is a strong word for a 23-year-old. So was Snuka married at the time, or is just a girl he had on the road?
He was married at the time, yes. And yeah, this was definitely someone he was seeing on the side. I, you know, I'll withhold judgments on that. But according to the Morning Call newspaper, which is based out of Allentown, Pennsylvania, Nancy Argentino was rushed out of Snooka's George Washington Motor Lodge motel room, now the site of a Home Depot along MacArthur Road and Route 22, on May 10, 1983. Jimmy Snuka was a married man, and he'd returned from a World Wrestling Federation taping at the Allentown Fairgrounds to find Argentino gasping for air and oozing yellow fluid from her mouth and nose.
Wow. And in the Allentown tapings, that was a thing. That's where they would tape weeks and weeks of wrestling. Like, they would do a month worth of wrestling in one night. So them being in Allentown, Pennsylvania was a frequent occurrence.
That's right. That's right. And after, according to Snooka, when he came back and found Argentino oozing yellow fluid from her mouth and gasping from air, she was declared dead hours later at Lehigh Valley Hospital. And it was said she died of traumatic brain injuries consistent with the moving head striking a stationary object, according to the autopsy. Now, the findings showed that she had more than two dozen cuts and bruises, a possible sign of maid abuse, on her head, ear, chin, arms, hands, back, buttocks, legs, and feet.
A possible sign of what kind of abuse?
Mate abuse.
Oh, okay.
So spousal abuse.
Okay.
Yeah. It is believed that Snooka, who delayed 12 to 24 hours in calling for medical help, contributed greatly to the emergency staffer's inability to resuscitate her. Those are not my words. That's coming from the report. Now, the autopsy report that I've just mentioned in 83 also urged this case should be investigated as a homicide until proven otherwise.
Because it was just simply, he said he found her, but yet you have all these bruises, you have damage everywhere. It definitely wasn't a fall, and it was supposed to be investigated as a homicide.
That's right. Now, the deputy Lehigh County coroner, Wayne Snyder, later said, upon viewing the body and speaking to the pathologist, I immediately suspected foul play and so notified the district attorney. Now, charges were not immediately pressed at the time against Snooka, though the case was left officially open. So, what we have is what looks like a murder caused by maid abuse, but arrests weren't made right away, and the initial murder case didn't go anywhere.
Any idea why?
I'll get into that. So, shortly after her death in 83, Nancy Argentino's family hired Richard Cushing, a New York attorney who had spent most of his career defending criminals, to take a second look. Now, his job was to re-examine the evidence after Argentino's death and to try to persuade the then district attorney, William Platt, that this indeed was not an accident. Cushing spent weeks in Allentown visiting scenes, studying records of the case, and interviewing witnesses. He believed that there was enough there to take it to grand jury as a murder case, but William Platt was not convinced. Now, this is what Cushing said. He says, I was stonewalled at every turn. It became pretty clear that Platt had no intention of presenting the evidence that I amassed. All the pieces were there. There was enough to take it before a grand jury in 83, and I cannot understand why the district attorney could not see it.
So you had what I guess you would call political resistance to bring this case forward, like the legal justification and the legal, intention was there, but there was a political resistance from the DA.
Yeah, quite possible, you know, because anyone who had seen the body, who was at the crime scene, they had suspicions that foul play did take part in her murder. However, there wasn't enough there to press forward with murder charges. So 30 years later, the case was still unsolved, but an opportunity for the case to be reopened presented itself. The man responsible for the original autopsy, now I'm going to do my best with his name here, Dr. Isidore Mihalakis, in 1983, commented to the Morning Call newspaper about the investigation. He said, the clear-cut forensics weren't there, but the suspicion was there. I did not have a clear-cut case. It was a very worrisome case. Obviously, there was enough there to arouse my suspicion, but not enough to take it to trial. Mihalakis would later say, just because she was beaten doesn't mean that she was beaten to death.
A lot of this is casualties of the times, I think. You know, like, yes. If this happened right now, Of course, he would be arrested. Was there any interview of Snuka that took place at the time, or any kind of further investigation that took place at the time that could explain why Snuka wasn't charged at all?
He was very inconsistent in the way he talked about the incident. Now, I've got some quotes from him here in my notes, but, depending on who you're talking to, the people who are involved with making the decisions here said that Snuka was consistent. However, other witnesses like nurses at the hospital in the emergency room and stuff overheard him sharing different versions of the story. So let's get into that. So according to police interviews obtained again by the Morning Call, a lot of the quotes and information came from this article. It's a fantastic article. Look it up. Jimmy Snuka, Nancy Argentino, The Morning Call. And it said that Snuka originally told at least 5 people, including the responding police officer, that he shoved Nancy, causing her to fall and hit her head. He later told police he was misunderstood and that Nancy slipped and hit her head when they stopped along the highway to go to the bathroom. In another version, Snuka claims he called the authorities as soon as they got to the hotel room. In his book, Superfly, The Jimmy Snuka Story, which was written by John Chapman, he says that after coming back from the TV tapings, he was surprised to find her still sleeping, and that's when he called for help. Now, as you can see, there are varying stories there.
Yeah, and the book comes into play later on, I think.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's really no great answer, just looking at it from a periphery sense, why he wasn't charged initially. It seems like everything was there to at least throw a charge at him and get some more investigation at it.
And as you said, I think this case was a casualty of the times. You know, if you watch anything like Cold Case Files, you know, you find that a lot of these murder cases, there wasn't enough evidence where, you know, the people involved in investigating may have had their suspicions that they did in fact do it. There just wasn't enough evidence to go forward, unfortunately. So the variety of stories as to what he did with Nancy Argentino or how she got injured could fill this whole episode. But the stories given by Snuka, as I've said a few, it ranged from excessive horseplay amongst them to a lover's quarrel where accidents happen to her simply slipping and falling. All of these defenses were given in Snuka's book. Various interviews and other sources, such as what Snuka supposedly told the nurses in the ER, which is what I said earlier, and what they overheard him saying.
It also is worth mentioning that Snuka was a big star. He was someone that was known in wrestling and a little bit outside of wrestling. And this particular area was one where the WWE was in a lot and did a lot of business.
He was no stranger to the people involved there. They knew who he was. He was on the television. He was performing in arenas in the area. Now, something interesting to note, fans may remember a little bit about a month after Nancy's death, Snuka lost it on TV in an empty arena interview with Vince McMahon, coming from June 25th, 1983's episode of Championship Wrestling. This can be found on YouTube. Have you seen this footage before?
I have not.
Right, so in this interview with Vince, it's Snuka and Vince. They're alone in this empty arena with a bunch of wooden chairs all around him, and Snuka's discussing his feud with Don Morocco. But after Vince McMahon starts to allude to some things happening in his personal life recently, it struck a chord. And halfway through this interview, Snuka puts his head in his hands and he starts crying. And he's just not responding to anything that Vince is saying. And then he loses it. Snuka aggressively starts throwing chairs all over the place. Now, he kept to his promo about Morocco, but given the timing of this interview, given that it was about a month after her death, it's hard not to think Nancy's death played on his mind during this recording. Definitely worth something checking out. You could see that interview on the Pro Wrestling Stories piece.
This is so strange. This is
very
much a Vince McMahon thing that he did for years and years after this, where playing off of real life shit to further a narrative, a fake angle to, you know, to show that Jimmy has reached his breaking point. They actually bring up something that was very real. In this case, you know, at least in Vince's mind, an accidental death of his lover. That's so weird.
It's weird. I maybe a bit low, but we'll leave judgments to our listeners. Now, bringing it back, it should also be noted that Snuka allegedly regularly abused his wife, Sharon, physically and actually sent her to the hospital 5 months after Nancy's death. According to a criminal complaint, There's photos and notes of these injuries, which was taken by Debbie Rogers, the wife of Snuka's manager at the time. A man you actually might know, Buddy Rogers. It was his wife who'd taken those photos. Now, Snuka wrote in his book, this is about Nancy's funeral. He said, I told her mother and father how sorry I was about her death. What else could I possibly say? Argentino's oldest sister, Lorraine Salome, remembers differently. She said, Jimmy came to the funeral in shorts and didn't say anything to my mother. He did not express his apologies or sympathies. Now, Buddy Rogers had taken Snuka to the funeral and he left him there. And Snuka vowed that he was going to attend the church services later, but he didn't. This again was according to Nancy's oldest sister. So he went to the funeral. He never really talked to the parents. Promised he would go to the chapel service later, and he didn't.
And showed up in shorts. Showed up in shorts.
Showed up in shorts. Didn't make an effort to, I don't know, bid farewell in a respectable way, I suppose. I just don't imagine shorts is the attire to wear.
I can't think of any time I've seen shorts at a funeral. I mean, I know he was from the island, but come on, you know.
Yeah, true. Moving ahead to 99, this is right when internet usage is starting to kind of come into place a bit more. When writer Irvin Muchnick published the story of Snuka and Argentino online, it circulated and it gained steam amongst fans and underground newsletters. Now, Muchnick, he's the author of the book Wrestling Babylon, Pile-Driving Tales of Drug, Sex, Death, and Scandal, and the 92 book Justice Denied, The Untold Story of Nancy Argentino's Death in Jimmy Superfly Snuka's Motel Room. In his write-up, he compares Nancy Argentino to Mary Jo Kopechne. Are you familiar with what happened in 69 with Senator Ted Kennedy?
Yeah, Mary Jo Kopechne was a young Kopechne mm-hmm. was a young lady who was in a car with Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy mm-hmm. Drove her off of a bridge, swam back to the hotel, spent the night, and then reported a death.
Right.
Is that about right? Is that about right?
Spot on. Yeah, so he drove his Oldsmobile Delmont 88 off a bridge near Martha's Vineyard. He abandoned the 28-year-old woman who had crash trauma and drowned. Now, the senator waited 10 hours. Like you said, he waited a little bit before he reported it. In a televised speech, he said that his behavior had been indefensible, but denied it was alcohol-fueled. Kennedy only got a 2-month suspended sentence for leaving the scene of an accident after causing injury and damaged any presidential ambitions that he may have had. So kind of parallel to what happened with Snuka here, in a sense.
I want to say he swam out and walked to the hotel and then just went to bed. I think that's the story. Like, it's an insane story. And, of course, yeah. Not to sidetrack, but this is in the wake of two of the most heralded young political figures, his brothers dying, where he was probably a shoo-in to become a president at some point. And instead, this happened. And when he apologized, he was apologizing more for the infidelity and more for being in the wrong place at the wrong time than really taking any responsibility for the death of Mary Jo Kopechne.
Yeah, that was another sad tale there, sad story. But bringing it back to Snuka and Nancy Argentino, Muchnick, he told the Daily Beast that while researching this incident, a detective never told him that they didn't have enough evidence to indict Snuka. He instead told him that Snuka told one story and that it was perfectly consistent every time. Muchnick considers that to be a blatant lie. So for 30 years, Snuka continued with his life as if nothing had happened, and it would be 3 decades until the Snuka and Nancy Argentino death investigation would be revived.
And we're going to get to that death investigation and all that. Are we going to get to the rumors as to why it was not pursued?
I just think from what I have here that there just wasn't enough evidence. As well, Vince McMahon gets involved. Now,
That's what I'm talking about.
I hear what you're saying now. So there's rumors that he helped prevent this from going to trial. Let's get into that. I'm going to tell you a little bit about why there's rumors around Vince McMahon's involvement. So the original investigation went cold on June 1st, 1983, after prosecutors met with Jimmy Snuka and McMahon in the district attorney's office law library. There's no record of what was talked about during this meeting, But Judge Robert Steinberg, who was an assistant district attorney at the time, was there, and he remembers that Vince McMahon did all the talking but was cooperative, and which is recorded in the police accounts at the time. He said, "I remember Vince McMahon being what Vince McMahon always has been, very effusive. He was very protective, a showman." Steinberg continued, "He was the mouthpiece trying to direct the conversation." Now, Snuka mentions in his book that the details are hazy, but he did go there with Vince to a court or law office, and that Vince had a suitcase or a briefcase with him. He doesn't remember if money was given to the family of Nancy Argentino or anything, but this is, of course, in response to rumors that Vince McMahon paid off the Argentino family to quietly close the case out of court. But he knows for sure that he did not hurt Nancy.
And there's also rumors of certain other cases going away in the past with donations to police funds and things like that. And also wrestling has a history of almost having this mafioso type undercurrent where things kind of get handled behind the scenes. And, you know, there's no need to really get the newspapers involved because here's some cash.
Right. So WWE actually ends up issuing a statement after Snuka's book came out. So what they said was the insinuation that a group of medical examiners, detectives, and prosecutors, including two who've become judges, could have their integrity compromised and participate in improper activity during the course of a meeting is absurd, categorically false, and insulting to all parties. We are hopeful that justice will prevail. And later, Vince McMahon denied any involvement in the delaying of this case, even though witnesses have said Vince McMahon came in with the briefcase but did not walk out with it.
Witnesses have said Vince McMahon, well, there's been two crimes took place, the death of Nancy Argentina and the loss of Vince McMahon's briefcase.
Yes, exactly. And strong words by WWE, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, can you imagine, like, we know who Vince is now, but can you imagine the amount of gravitas, confidence, skill, verbal ability? This guy comes in to these, you know, cops, and pretty much it's a mismatch. Vince is kind of the guy, you know? So I can imagine a situation where this very sophisticated, smart business owner was able to kind of finagle his way through it, if that is indeed what happened.
If that is indeed what happened, of course, this is all hearsay. So these aren't our words. But yeah, Vince McMahon could be a very, what's the word? He could definitely talk you into doing things that maybe you don't want to do. There's definitely been stories of people coming to see him, wanted to get something changed, and ended up leaving, still doing what Vince McMahon originally wanted. He's definitely somebody who's good with his words. But after that one-hour meeting in the district attorney's law library, there's no records of Snuka ever being questioned by police again, and the case went cold for 30 years.
And to get back to your point, the fact that they came out with a strong statement shifting blame, you know, and saying, you know, not the fact that somebody murdered somebody, or not the fact that somebody's accusing Vince McMahon of something, but the fact that you had the temerity, the gall to impugn the character of these fine people who are such good, upstanding people that they became judges. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
You should write for WWE.com. That was good there. Yes, this is absurd, categorically false, and it's insulting.
How could you ever say something like that?
I know. Fantastic. They're really good with their words. I wish I could be so quick in real life. But let's go back through a timeline to kind of bring things back together for our listeners. So 4 months before Nancy Argentino died, Snuka was charged with assaulting her in a New York Howard Johnson motel. Police say he also battled with responding police. He was charged with second and third degree assault, resisting arrest, and obstruction of governmental administration, but accepted a plea deal that dropped all of those charges in exchange for pleading guilty to harassment in April 1983. Nancy, she swore in a deposition after the alleged assault that Snuka never hit her or intentionally harmed her.
So this is previous to the murder.
That's right. This was 4 months before she died. And look, you've got police officers showing up after a call has been made, and Snooka was resisting arrest, and she was quite clearly had second and third degree assaults, bruises, or looked as if that were the case. And then later on, she said that he did not intentionally harm her.
I believe this was the case I heard about where the rumor is that there's a donation made to a police union fund and that this case just went away. And that's how the plea deal took place. Have you heard that?
Yeah. I did not hear that one, but you never know. But 2 years later, in 1985, the Argentino family won a $500,000 wrongful death civil lawsuit against Jimmy Snooka. But here's the thing. They never received their money. He filed for bankruptcy, Snooka, and the family never got any of that restitution. The whole time that Jimmy Snooka claimed innocence, and he wrote in his book, "Many terrible things have been written about me hurting Nancy and being responsible for her death, but they're not true. This has been very hard on me and very hard on my family. I never hit Nancy or threatened her. I never wanted to harm her. I think she died of a fracture to her skull. I was devastated." He continued, "That night ruined my life. If I was guilty of anything, it was cheating on my wife, and that was it. Nancy was a good girl. I will never forget what happened to her." He later added, "Sometimes being trapped with my thoughts could be more painful than any injury I've suffered in the ring."
He's a victim too, is what he's saying. Nancy's not the only victim of this mystery crime. Jimmy Snooka also is a victim. That's what he's saying.
Yes, he suffered as a result. On January 28, 2014, skipping ahead now, Lehigh County District Attorney Jim Martin announced that the Nancy Argentino case was going to go to a grand jury. So it's taken now, what's it been, 31 years now, or almost 31 years, for them to finally reopen this case. Now, in August, about 8 months later, Carol, the third wife of Jimmy Snooka, says that he has stomach cancer. So that was the first time when we found out about that. And then a month later, September 1st, 2015, after a recommendation from a grand jury, Martin proceeds to charge Snooka with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. Now, the county's investigative grand jury found that Jimmy Snooka assaulted Nancy Argentino on May 10th, 1983, and then left her in a Whitehall Township motel room to die. This is quotes from the hearings. "His assaultive acts and his failure to act to obtain medical attention resulted in her death." The grand jury wrote in a presentment on July 17, 2015, recommending that he be charged with homicide. So now we're getting the recommendation. It is now 32 years later, and of course he's got his health issues in play.
And this takes place in September of 2015, correct?
Yep, in September 2015, it was recommended from the grand jury to go ahead with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter. And then, of course, when this came to light, following the county's investigative grand jury findings, the WWE issued this statement. "WWE expresses its continued sympathy to the Argentino family for their loss. Ultimately, this legal matter will be decided by our judicial system."
Hey, their statement is crimes are solved by the judicial branch of our government.
Exactly.
That's their statement.
So after Snooka was charged with third degree murder, Jim Cornette, who I absolutely love every time he's got something to say on things because he speaks the truth whether you like it or not. I tend to be a fan, others maybe not so much, but he said this on the Jim Cornette Experience. "Why doesn't someone really start investigating more about why nothing got done 30 years ago when all of this evidence and conflicting stories were there? Argentino was evidently beat up and banged up and bruised up. You know, a couple of dozen bruises and cuts on her body, besides a fractured effing skull in a wrestler's hotel room that had just been previously arrested in the effing same state, I believe, about 6 months beforehand by 8 cops and 2 police dogs for beating up the same girl." So Cornette's talking about how, you know, those 4 months before she died, he was arrested for beating her. And then again, she died 4 months later and he's still not arrested. He says, well, the evidence is there. What the heck? Cornette continued, "Even in Snooka's book," he said, He wrote that Vince McMahon came to represent him at the meeting, which everyone agrees on, but Vince was carrying a briefcase, and he never saw the briefcase again. What the F? So Cornette saying it how it is.
Yeah, I love everything Jim Cornette talks about, unless he's talking about me. He's
Has he said some words about you?
He has definitely said some words about me. When I worked with Vince Russo,
yeah, his best friend.
He said a lot of negative things about me. But since then we have met, shaken hands with a smile, and we are cool now. But Jim, Mr. Cornette, is never at a loss to speak his mind.
Love him or hate him, I respect the man for that. Now, let's talk about CTE, as this plays a role in the case moving forward. Now, CTE, for those who don't know, is caused by mild or repeated head trauma, but the exact amount needed for the condition to occur is yet unknown. It's a deterioration of brain tissue and function, and it was discovered in 2004 at the Allegheny County Medical Examiner's Office after performing an autopsy on a former Pittsburgh Steelers player, Iron Mike Webster. Currently, a definitive diagnosis can only be done during an autopsy and analyzing a person's brain under a microscope after they're dead. Now, because we know that Snuka's got this cancer diagnosis, it starts to play into the situation that they need to determine his mental competency of Jimmy Snuka.
So just a interesting story about this is that, we've talked about CTE. I don't think any fan base is as aware of CTE as wrestling fans are. And we talked about it this week when I was talking about Chris Benoit.
Right.
But this is all taking place in the fall of 2015. In the fall of 2014, I met Jimmy Snuka. My son and I were at a wrestling convention. We met Jimmy Snuka. And we both remarked that he did not seem 100%. A matter of fact, while he was talking to us, his gum fell out of his mouth. Mm. He was like, "How you doing, brother? Good to see you. Thank you." You know, we got his autograph, and we're going to post the picture up on Twitter of meeting Jimmy Snuka. But this is shortly before he was brought to charges in a few months later. But also, right, when that diagnosis came, my son and I, neither one of us were surprised, even though it seemed convenient at the time for him.
Right. Yeah. Many people who knew him definitely talked about that. His mental competency was starting to go at the end there. With the September 2015 recommendation from the grand jury to charge Snuka with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter, hearings were set up to determine whether Jimmy Snuka was mentally competent to stand trial. His defense attorney, Robert Kerwin, said that Snuka suffered from brain trauma so severe that he developed CTE and subsequently dementia. He argued Snuka's head trauma had progressed to the point where he couldn't understand what was happening in a courtroom and commented that his private doctors had seen memory impairment in him as early as 2010 and that Snuka might develop CTE in the future. Other doctors in 2010 said that they also saw signs of dementia developing.
He would have had to disintegrate pretty rapidly from the time that we met him. He was, like I said, a little bit off, but he was able to hold a conversation. He was able to know what was going on. He was able to sign our autographs and ask questions. Like I said, he did lose his focus a couple times talking to us. But this dementia thing can escalate really quickly. So I'm not disputing that, but at the same time, it is a convenient way to escape the accountability.
Yes, definitely. But you know, you also have some medical reports going back as 2010 saying that he is starting to show signs of memory impairment. So,
well, there's no doubt about it. Dude went off the top of the cage. There was no research back then about head trauma. All those Superfly splashes, I'm sure he hit his head many, many times. And just in the course of being a wrestler, I know wrestlers who suffer from dementia now who were not known for using their head at all, because there's so many times where your head hits the mat, so many times that your head can get hit. It is not beyond the pale to say that someone who was a wrestler in that time would develop dementia related to CTE.
That's right. And, you know, we actually get into some instances that were brought up from his wrestling career contributing to his onslaught of CTE and dementia. But Frank M. DiTilio was a forensic psychologist. Frank M. DiTilio was a forensic psychologist hired by the defense. He testified that Snuka was a shell of a man whose brain is damaged beyond repair from years of wrestling and who is suffering from dementia that is worsening by the month. Now, DiTilio, he told Judge Kelly L. Banach that tests show Snuka's brain is shrinking, causing serious memory loss. Snuka does not understand what's going on in court and does not remember his attorney's name, according to the psychologist. During one of the hearings, prosecutors noted Snuka did not begin complaining of head trauma until after he learned he was under investigation. So there is a bit of people who are kind of questioning when his memory loss was coming to light, you know, the timing of it. Was it, you know, a bit too convenient? But Senior Deputy District Attorney Craig Sheets pointed to medical records that show Snuka had an appointment with a concussion specialist on January 29, 2014. That was a week after District Attorney Jim Martin announced he was reopening the case.
So I met Snuka Thanksgiving weekend 2014. So I met him like 2 months before this happened, before the case was reopened.
Right before it was reopened, and it was about 11 months before then that he saw a concussion specialist. So, yeah, it was just around that year when things were starting to go downhill for him. So there's a lot of proving and disproving of Jimmy Snuka's ability to stand trial. So in trying to prove that Snuka was mentally and physically capable to do this trial, prosecutors showed flyers from charity events that Snuka attended during times the psychologist said he was showing signs of dementia. One event was a 2012 poker game in New York, in which Snuka won $100,000 for charity, Sheets said. This was to prove that he was lucid at least 3 years beforehand. And then to win $100,000 in poker, I mean,
even a fake $100,000 in poker, that's still an astounding feat for someone who's suffering from brain injuries.
Yeah, beginning to suffer from brain injuries, right. So Snuka's attorney, Robert Kerwin, argued that the flyers and videos did not prove anything about Snuka's competency. He called the video of a May 2015 wrestling match the prosecution had shown from a Rhode Island gymnasium fake. He pointed out how slowly and carefully Snuka climbed the ropes before falling onto the other wrestler's chest. He mentioned that this was a far cry from the Snuka that truly used to leap off cages and turnbuckles. If that was the Superfly Splash, he said, it was the geriatric version. And then another thing was, we were talking about how some of wrestling angles from the past were brought in. They even brought up the iconic incident with Roddy Piper smashing a coconut on Snuka's head. The coconut was supposed to be shaved thin on one end to crack like an egg, the psychologist explained, but Piper hit Snuka with the wrong end. And DiTilio, the forensics pathologist, testified Snuka was unable to recall many of the injuries that led to his head trauma, but he did recount that Piper incident, which was said to leave him dizzy and disoriented.
Hold on. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I started watching wrestling shortly after this incident, but it was still something that was played a lot because they were running the angle. And it was always said that he actually did hit him with a coconut, but to me it always rang like it was one of these urban legends, like they like to say that, you know, they like to say it was a real coconut. If, in fact, Piper did actually split open the coconut on his head, which he did, if you've ever seen a coconut or if you've ever seen a head, that is not any kind of light feat right there. I'm not sure I believe that, you know. It just seems impossible, dude. It seems impossible to break a coconut on someone's head. Like, I don't know. If you threw a coconut against a sidewalk, it might not open. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's right. I've tried taking them off trees in Costa Rica, and they hit the ground from about 75-foot fall, and they still are intact, you know. So having that off your head, yeah.
People don't open coconuts by throwing them against rocks. They open them with knives because, you know, with the, like the back end of a knife, or like a machete. Mm-hmm. Because to hit it up against another, I'm just saying that seems like a very wrestling answer, a very wrestling thing to say. Well, you know, Piper actually did hit him with a fucking coconut. Like, Yeah, I don't know, dude. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was one of the contributing factors to his CTE. Very interesting, though, that they brought that up. But
to me, it makes sense they brought it up because that's something people remember. It's also something that they have video of, you know, and it's also something that looked very convincing as well. So it's something they could bring in front of a jury, and maybe one or two people in the jury might remember that and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And they have video of it. And it's like almost a perfect little movie to explain why he has CTE. The fact that this bad guy, Roddy Piper, actually hit him with an actual coconut so hard it split the coconut open. If, in fact, that did happen, you know, I mean, that would explain the CTE. But once again, would not, let's remember that this doesn't forgive the crime, if, in fact, it did happen, of Jimmy Snuka. This forgives the accountability the older Jimmy Snuka has because he's no longer able to stand trial.
Let's not forget, he also, according to, you know, what happened in court, in May 2015, he wrestled in Rhode Island and did the splash. So this was, you know, for somebody who was losing his mental competency, he was still wrestling all the way up until the end. But you can't blame everything on CTE. So Ronald Hamilton, a doctor of pathology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center who helped discover CTE, said other factors such as drinking, drug use, and depression could also cause mood changes. Jimmy Snuka had publicly admitted to drinking heavily, smoking tobacco, marijuana, and drug use such as cocaine, and even anabolic steroids throughout his life, according to his book. Now, Hamilton, the doctor of pathology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, mentioned the case of Chris Benoit in 2007, who killed his wife, of course, his son. And then even though he had probably had serious head trauma from his wrestling career and perhaps was suffering from dementia, still was competent enough to hang himself after the murders.
You know, we talked about the Benoit thing this week on Total Engagement. When they exhumed his body and they studied his brain, he had the brain of an 85-year-old Alzheimer's patient. So even though he had the wherewithal to strangle himself in such a dramatic, crazy, and tragic and dramatic manner, it doesn't mean he didn't suffer from dementia.
That's right. And if you want to dive in further, of course, listen to that episode from earlier this week. And also on Pro Wrestling Stories, we've got an article entitled, They Called Him the Crippler. It's the Chris Benoit story going from his beginning up into the tragic end. And we try to do that as tastefully as possible. And I think you guys will get it. You'll enjoy that read. Now, going back to Hamilton, he said, all of these wrestlers in the WWE have head trauma. They can't avoid it. It's part of their job, Hamilton said. Even though their decision-making is impaired, there isn't a loss, as far as I can tell, of the sense of right and wrong. I'm going to go back to Jim Cornette. I've got a quote from him. He said, I love Jimmy Snuka as a fan. I didn't know him as a person, but he's a professional cohort. But if he did this, this should have been settled a long time ago. So we're getting towards the end of this story. Now, according to the experts, there's no proof that people who suffer from CTE are legally incompetent. Also, to reinforce the aforementioned, Dr. Manish Fazdar, a Raleigh, North Carolina expert in neuropsychiatry and forensic psychiatry, said there are no cause-effect relationships, as Snuka's defense attorney argued. Now, Dr. Paul Hoyer, who's a forensic pathologist for the Montgomery County Coroner's Office, said, dementia can be a muddy diagnosis, so there is no clear-cut test to determine whether a person suffers from it. He continued, where is the line between dementia and normal? Dementia is defined legally as being unable to understand what's going on. Does Snuka understand what's going on? If he does, he's responsible. On the matter, Jim Cornette, on the Jim Cornette Experience, said, The word started getting around. It was obvious. It's obvious. If you go back and look at the facts of the case, something went on. Something went on and something got covered up. It's been known within the business. It's not exactly a topic of everyday fucking conversation that something fucking happened. So, let's go back to a timeline which ends up declaring Superfly Jimmy Snuka not mentally fit to stand trial. June 1st, 2016, we're about a year ahead, almost 6 months after actually being tried for third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter, J. Judge Kelly L. Bonach determined that Jimmy Snuka was not mentally fit to assist his defense. She said, "Justice suffers after 30 years because everything decays." Skipping ahead 21 days, 3 weeks later, prosecutors asked Bonach to force Snuka to undergo mental health treatment. And then, of course, in December 2nd, 2016, Snuka's defense attorney says he's in a Florida hospice and doctors have determined that he only has 6 months to live. And it was only a month later, on January 3rd, 2017, Judge Bonach dismissed the homicide charges against Jimmy Snuka.
So the facts as we know them are this. Nancy Argentina was, the police were called for a assault on Nancy Argentina where Snuka was not, where Snuka was involved and he pled guilty to harassment. A few months later, Nancy Argentina was dead in the company of Jimmy Snuka. Years later, he was found unaccountable due to the fact that he was not able to stand trial, but he also was found guilty by a civil court of being responsible because there was a judgment, financial judgment, and the Argentino family received no money. Those are the facts as we know them, right? Those are undisputed.
Undisputed. That's right.
But the story is also, why didn't anything happen to him before this? Why didn't it happen that day? Why didn't it happen that week? Why didn't it happen a couple years later? How was this able to be swept under the rug until his book comes out? And I think his book coming out was something that spurred the DA to reopen the case as well. This is really a story about celebrity and a story about violence, and it's really just bad all around.
It was, and there was a lot of mixed reactions to the judge dismissing homicide charges. Now, when Lorraine Salum, who was the older sister of Nancy Argentino, was reached by phone, she said she wasn't surprised when she got the call informing her that the judge dismissed charges against Snuka. She said, "We kind of expected it because there were so many ridiculous things going on with the defense." She went on to describe Snuka's incompetency defense as a total act. Now, Snuka's defense attorney, Robert Kerwin, who I've mentioned before, he motioned for the case to be closed once it had been determined in June 2016 that Snuka was mentally unfit to assist his defense. He said it was time for there to be closure. The medical evidence showed that he was not getting better, and in fact, he's getting worse. And shortly after Snuka's arrest in 2015, Judge Bonach issued a gag order for anyone involved not to talk about the case publicly. So that was for all the attorneys and to Snuka's and Argentino's families. Now, Kerwin, speaking about the prosecution publicly for the first time, he also added, "Their case was doomed from the start. There's much that is not publicly known about this case. My client, Snuka, would have liked to clear his name, and there was never a doubt in my mind that he would have been acquitted by a jury if he had been well enough to stand trial."
Wow. So Snuka's attorney is saying, hey, you guys are lucky that Snuka wasn't able to stand trial, because he would have straightened all this shit out. All the books he wrote and the interviews he did and the shoot interviews he did, all that stuff, he didn't really say what was going to happen. But had he been able to have the opportunity to defend himself, he would have cleared all this shit up, and his name would have been cleared. What a move by an attorney after the death of his client.
So let's go back to the date. January 3rd, all homicide charges were dismissed. He was a free man, and then days later, a dead one. So he passed away on January 15th, 2017, just 12 days after this, when Robert Kerwin, who was the defense attorney for Jimmy Snuka, called Snuka's wife, Carol, with the news, it was said that she wept with joy and wanted to know if it was truly over. He communicated to her that Snuka was now a free man. But unfortunately, with the stomach cancer that he was suffering from and other ailments, he passed away, and he was 73 years old.
The WWE had some criticism because they did play one of their
montage, right? Mm-hmm.
With these charges looming over him, and the fact they were only dismissed due to his condition, but also the fact that he was found responsible by a civil court left a lot of people with a bad taste in their mouth.
Rightfully. I mean, I can understand why that would do that. But there was obviously some people commenting about it. Mick Foley, for instance, was a big fan of Snuka. He was inspired by him to pursue a career in wrestling, in fact. And he said, unfortunately, the death of Nancy Argentino is inextricably entwined in the life story of Superfly Jimmy Snuka, making the celebration of his life and career so much more difficult. Now, journalist Mike Mooneyham offered, while Snuka will remain forever tied to Nancy Argentino's death, it must be noted that he was never convicted. Many critics, however, would argue that justice delayed was justice denied. And to add, I want to share something my friend Evan Ginsberg. He was the assistant producer of the movies The Wrestler and 350 Days Wrestling documentary that came out last summer. He shared with me this privately after reading the article on Pro Wrestling Stories. He said, Snuka was his friend. He said, trust me, Jimmy's memory was shot. He'd walk out for a cigarette and he'd come back not remembering your name. That wasn't a scam when he was incompetent for trial. He remembered nothing. I just wanted to share what Evan said to me, kind of in a bid to keep things balanced here.
It does keep things balanced, but at the same time, it appears to the observer that this was a case of, you know, 1983, things were a little different. Sometimes things that should not have gone unnoticed went unnoticed, and that Jimmy Snuka would have been probably found guilty if he was tried with all the evidence. And, you know, it's just a terrible story where nobody's the winner.
That's right. You said it. And, you know, who's to know what would have happened had this gone forward if he was mentally competent. But it's all up to people to just kind of guess for themselves. Now, what we do know is Snuka's fall from grace was as low as his peaks of fame were high. Unlike Chris Benoit, the Superfly has not been erased from WWE's history books as of yet. Whether or not that's correct on their part, I don't know. But we could still question, can we appreciate the man's huge contributions to wrestling, knowing that it's very possible that he had a hand in Nancy Argentino's death? That's the tough one as fans. That's the tough one as, I'm sure, cohorts of him, and something that people are just going to have to live with. Now, obviously, I'd like to hear what you guys think. So the listeners of the show, of course, feel free to discuss this on Matt Coons and Total Engagement social media accounts. Go ahead, give that a plug real quick.
Well, of course, you can reach me at Matt Coon Music and at Total Engage Show. But you want to make sure to check out the story, the full write-up with all the details over at Pro Wrestling Stories. .com. And also, JP Zarka, you have your own social as well. How do people get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at JP Zarka, as well as Pro Wrestling Stories Facebook page at Pro Wrestling Stories, and Twitter at PWS_official. And while we're at it, I'm going to give a plug for the shirts that we're selling. We got a lot of great designs. The Plane Ride from Hell. We've got Bobby Heenan, Gorilla Monsoon as a weasel and a gorilla. We've got Andre the Giant saying, does anybody want a peanut? Some awesome, awesome designs. Head over to PWSTees.com. That's PWSTees.com to check those out. All shirts are $14.99. Give it a look. And really, I'm happy with the way the show went. I hope you guys, the listeners, have enjoyed this. Reach out to us, and I look forward to doing this again soon with you, Matt.
Well, thank you so much, JP. Once again, JP Zarka from Pro Wrestling Stories, on today's special Crime in Wrestling episode of Total Engagement. Of course, reach out on social media. Make sure to subscribe. Give us 5-star reviews if you can. And tune in tomorrow and every day here on Total Engagement with me, Matt Coons.